Hey, give us a drink of water and I'll be ready to go. Give us a drink of water and I'll be ready to go. That, let me tell you about that darn bull. You see, my fence is...
I put this right here. That's something to recuperate on.
That fence is back there. Oh, my fence. Oh, they wouldn't hold a billy goat. Well, I got the wrong word. They wouldn't hold a sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I just got a new sister, you know. I don't let my bull out with the cows. I bring them up over to the pasture. All right. One night I left them out in that pasture over there with the cows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, business was dull. So he went over that fence and started giving that bull call.
That brought on other things.
Good love to give that bull call. He would call a bull clear over on the other side of Fish Prairie.
Mm-hmm.
Just to hear his voice. He must love that voice. Well, this time there's an old black bull over there. And Pappy got through his fence, and he got through his fence. Pappy just tore a nice little hole through my old rotten fence. You see, he couldn't tap his fence. The fence was rotten.
Mm-hmm. But he walked on through.
And that other bull, I think Pappy must have got through first, because there was a whole stretch of that barbed wire fence over there tore up. And you could see all up and down there where they had stopped in a little circle, you see, and clawed up the ground. And Pappy is so belligerent.
You mean he's that tight?
But he gets winded.
Oh,
you see, he's always stayed up in a lot, mm. You know, he's one of those...
Hadn't had too much exercise.
Oh, no, he's one of them high-class bulls.
Mm-hmm.
But he still had that instinct, but he'd give out. And I've seen these old bulls down
thank
there.
Yeah.
I've caught them down there, yes, please say. I've caught them down there after they spent the night, you know, down there. And this old bull would be just in his vigor, and Pappy would be off on the side with his head looking the other way, just stupid.
Droopy.
You know, but they don't kill each other. They seem to, like a dog, one of them gives in and the other quits.
Yeah.
Is that right?
That's about it.
Well?
As long as they can get at it and get it over with. Now, you know, if it keeps going on and on and on and on, the fence is too good for them to get through. You know what I mean? They can't get through and they can't get the fight out.
Yeah.
They just keep going up and down that fence to finally they'll wreck $1,000 fence, you know.
Yeah.
Just going from one end of it to the other.
Yeah.
I think it's good to have a rotten fence when you got a bull. Let him get on out and get it out of his system for a day or two, and then when he gets back in his system, let him walk through and get it out. And so.
Well, what do they do? You see, I never have watched them. I ought to watch them. You see, when they get out like that, as soon as I find him, you see, I bring him right in. So I don't know how they actually act, but I've seen Pappy wore out.
Mm, they actually just butt each other. You talking about the bulls now? When they
yes.
Get, they butt each other and ram each other and get down there on all fours with their head buried in the ground, you know, and blow and snort and carry on like they're going to eat the world up and don't mount the whole
and
up.
Push each other.
Just
and
pushing
skin.
Around, yeah. Just pushing around, yeah. I've seen them push and push. Want to get his old eyeballs crossed almost, just pushing, you know, walking like this, and his legs, front legs stiff, and the other one just holding on, but he'd be skidding him, you know, on the ground, just pushing, you know.
Yeah.
Billy goats are the worst thing I ever seen.
Oh?
Yes, man, them billy goats, I'm telling you, old rams, they can get real mean, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen them back when I was young and growing up, everybody had a little herd of goats, you know, to keep the briars down in the fence rows and keep the bushes down in the woods and such, and something to aggravate everybody with,
yeah.
And everybody had them. But them darn things, you know, they'll get to fighting each other, and they'll pass each other up, you know, like this. And they'll get just about like this, and then they'll stand up like this, and then they'll just fall over and hit each other. Bang!
Those horns?
Yeah, butt-headed ones, they just ram the heads together, you know, and with horns, they clash their horns together and butt the heads and carry on, something fierce. But I offered to kill a goat one time, and the man wouldn't let me. I was about 15, 16 years old. I never got so mad in all my days.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Had this first cousin, mother's baby sister, and her husband had separated. And so we was keeping the baby boy, and he was about 5 years old, I guess. Four and five, I'd say. Both of them about the same age. I take it back. This is another one of the older sisters' children was staying there, because he was about 5 or 6 years old. 4, 5, 6, something like that. And I was about 16 or 17. Now, me and the boy that we raised are about the same age. He's living up in Georgia.
Boy that you raised?
Mm-hmm. Partly raised.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? I didn't know.
He, anyway, I run out there to get this darn goat, you know. I said, well, he's going to get that boy. And I run out there to get him. And so I just went between him and the goat. I don't guess he'd have hurt the young'un, but when I stooped over to get the goat hit me right in the rear end and knocked me into the young'un like knocked all of his teeth out. And I got so mad. I thought I'd kill me a goat just as sure as it thundered the next July. I was going to get me a goat. And Dad said, no, you can't shoot that goat. So that man will get mad at you if you shoot his goat. I said, I'm going to kill that goat. I said, that goat ain't going to treat me like that. He said, I learned your lesson. Don't never turn your back on a billy goat. Mm-hmm. And old billy, if you turn, I didn't raise around goats all my life, but always, you know, never turn my back. And I never really had heard it said that if you turn your back on a billy goat, he'd butt you. Especially if
you heard it said.
Yeah, but I never did believe that this had happened.
Yeah.
And he wailed me one. I mean, nailed me when I stooped over to get that boy. He said, wham! Well, my head rammed right into that young'un like that, you know. Right into his teeth.
Yeah.
Skinned my head up like knocked all his teeth loose. I was willing to kill that goat, sure enough.
Yeah.
But how's everything going?
That's the reason I keep them little palm things around, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I can just knock the fire out of them with that.
But
I can even hit them in the face, mm-hmm. in the side of the face. You know, I generally hit them in the back because it makes more noise.
Yeah, I heard you beating up on that bull down there.
Yeah.
Sounded real vicious.
Yeah.
Sounded like you was going to kill him.
Yeah. Well, it ain't as effective as an old paddle used to be. In the schoolroom, it don't even sting.
Well,
And I can wear one out, you see, on the way up here, or less.
Mm.
I can just wear it out.
Let me hit you a couple of licks like that, right swift like, and see if it stings or not.
Yeah, it stings a little bit.
You said it didn't, though.
Yeah, but I ain't a bull.
Oh, yeah. Well, I thought you was.
Yeah. Well, that time...
You ain't a cow.
That he got out over there. I couldn't find him.
Did you name him after Patty Kyle? Don't he kind of resemble old Patty Kyle?
Yeah. I couldn't find him. We scouted all over this country. Went all over there in the Collins place.
Oh.
They've got that stuff grown up. If he got through there, you see, he'd have to have a machete.
Mm.
Yeah,
couldn't make it
but
out.
I'm not going in there.
But we walked all through there. And all through the Richardson pasture over there where we figured he'd be. And Fee called Leroy. And he got one of the boys over there. He couldn't find him either. And just before... Oh, yes. After I left, I had to go on into office. I spent a couple hours doing it. They called me and said they'd found the bull. They had a little chute over there that sort of hid. And you go off down a row or something into that chute, like a little corral of a thing, loading place. And they were down there. Two bulls were down there, and I couldn't find them. And Pappy, it looked like, he had a night out. No. I mean, he walked mighty slow for two or three days. He just barely moved. Now, he didn't complain.
But, this was not on this round. This was before this happened.
Yeah, that was two or three weeks ago. One time I left him out.
This don't happen often, though, does it?
I don't let him out. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't even let him out over. You see, there's a lane in between them. Mm-hmm. You know, generally you figure they're pretty safe if you've got double fences. I told you before. As soon as you finish over here, I'm going to get you a high school diploma.
I mean, it'll get through, you reckon? Hey, goodness.
And I come to find out that Sybil knows more about those things than I do. I can tell from what you said.
Not necessary.
Well, she's had all that experience, or she does too. And she has dealt
with
all
She already, she finished school when she was young.
Yeah. And when the fella ought to finish.
Right. When I ought to finish. Both of us in the same grade. Yeah.
Oh, was you?
Yeah. It was same school.
Same school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We were born and raised together.
Well, when did you all get married? Before you left, finish school?
No, after she finished, we did.
You mean she finished and you didn't, and she's still happy?
Yeah. And she's taking several short courses in Tallahassee. After she finished high school, she went up to Tallahassee and stayed 2 weeks at a time for those summer short courses, they call them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think they still have them. I'm not sure. They used to up that FSU, isn't it? FSU, they call it up there. They have those summer short courses.
Oh, they've got everything, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they used to didn't have them. Nowhere in the state you had to go to Tallahassee to get them. You had to go to Tallahassee. You couldn't get them anywhere in the state other than Tallahassee. And you couldn't even get in Gainesville.
No, they weren't interested.
No. And the only place you get them is Tallahassee. She went up there, I don't know, I guess the last time she went up there was in the 50s. She said she wanted to take another course and something, and she went up there and stayed 2 weeks up there and taking this short course, and then she went 5 weeks up to Rayford and penal criminology study. Now she's going 6 weeks to college down here, just junior college. Of course, state pays for it. Now the only thing she had to pay for was in Tallahassee was a board, you know. They still furnished it. It was free.
Mm-hmm.
You could get those same courses here at Gainesville and other places, but you had to pay for them. But up there, it was free. All you had to do was pay for your board. Now they even furnished a room up there because, see, in the summer the dormitories would be closed down, and they just opened up one for these short courses. These people want to go up there and spend the time, you know. And all they had to really pay for, well, it cost $1 a day. Actually, it costs $1 a day, and that's cheap education. That's cheap. They fed you for that too. Fed you, slept you, and gave you the education that you come from.
And pay you?
No, they are her now. They did her. They paid her. Well, she drew a straight salary.
Yeah.
But she was in school 5 weeks. She didn't even go to Lowell at all.
Yeah.
Didn't go to the job at all. She went to Rayford up there.
Yeah.
And they had room and board up there, free up there, you know. But I told you that it's two people were coming back to Lowell. I said, you might as well ride back and forth with them. I said, ain't that far. Not
well, you've been a school man all your life.
Yeah, I know, though. I'm in the university now. I'm going to university.
You kept that.
I went 13 years extra.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went 13 years extra. And then I went, now I'm started up here. And,
why didn't you go ahead and finish down there?
You mean when
you
I was
in school, yeah.
And my daddy was sick.
Oh.
We see, he was 40 years old when he got married.
Oh.
Mom was 20 and he was 40. And of course, he had children when he was an old man. And he had a heart attack or two before. I actually had to drop out. But Uncle Jim and two or three more helped the thing on cross, you know, to get the crop out of the way. And then he went along after a couple of years pretty good. And he had another severe heart attack. And so the doctor said he couldn't work anymore. And Uncle Jim, he'd gone down South Florida somewhere. And so it wasn't nothing to do with me to stop school.
That's in seventh grade?
No, I was in sixth grade. And so I quit and finished the crop. And then we started back the next fall. And finished the sixth grade. And then, in other words, I had to stay in the sixth. And but before, really, the principal passed me. I lost about 2 months of that year on account of daddy being sick. I went back the next year, although they passed me back then, you know. Well, after I'd been part of the time in the sixth grade, well, I didn't have to do a whole lot of studying, you know. I mean, it's pretty easy. And I'd already made pretty fair grades after going over the same thing, you know, that I'd been over the year before. So with the grades I had and everything, the old principal, he just said, well, he'd promote me on up to seventh grade. Doggone, we got started the next year, and the same thing happened again, right about the same, in the same month. Daddy had another heart attack, so I dropped out again. And of course, back then, you know, people wasn't, I wasn't the only one. There was very few boys graduated from high school. Mm-hmm. Mostly girls, and that was in 1938. A lot of boys was, I myself even did the same thing. The year I would have been graduating, I'd signed up and gone into CC's, of course, you know.
Oh.
Parents had to sign for me to go, and you know, times were real hard. Daddy wasn't able to work, couldn't make no money, and he done got down to where he just couldn't go at all hard. And of course, by that time, the other brother, the one that I was working for in Gainesville, he quit school too, and was staying home working on the farm.
Oh, really?
And so I went, and then I didn't like that thing. I stayed 3 months and finally got out. And
you didn't like it?
Oh no, man, I didn't like it.
I thought everybody liked that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, most of the boys did because it gave them extra money, but I didn't want to be away from home that far, you know. And I'd never been away from home before, and I got awful homesick, and I worked on that thing for 3 months and finally got out. Take me 3 months from the day I got there to get out.
Started working on it as soon as you got there.
Immediately. As soon as I got there, I said, I don't like this thing. I just made up my mind right then I didn't like it when I got off the train. I got off the train. I didn't like it, and I had a sender in my, and that I think had as much to do with my liking that CC as anything was that sender. They put us in those old 18 and 18 coaches, you know, with no screens in the windows, no more cabbage stack locomotives, and the coal burners, you know, and all that old senders and stuff with no screen in there. And I slept that night. I laid back, you know, on the seat, and somehow all them cinders got puffed in that window, you know, and there's no screen in it, and just filled my eyes up. When I woke up, it just plumb full of cinders. Whew! And I got to, that's the awfulest hurting thing, is a cinder in your eye.
Yeah.
Just cut your eyeball all to pieces.
Yeah.
Well,
I had many one in.
I had to bear with that thing until we got there, and then they put me in the infirmary, you know, right off.
You know, that used to be one of the hazards.
You know, I hadn't thought of that.
You'd be on a train, just packed the train, even one with a screen. And you'd get centered. And
I didn't know that.
Little wind of gum, and
Puff in there and blow them on you.
But, and you raised the window then, and the wind was coming in anyhow all the time.
Oh, yeah. But, anyway, I went into the infirmary. They put me in there to get this thing cleaned out. Of course, back then, they was trying to run that CC like a third-rate infantry outfit, you know.
Oh.
And so I thought they was very rough about the thing. They got Sander out and doctored a little bit and told me to get the H out of that. I couldn't be hanging around there, so I was taken off. And so they had this initiation deal, you know, where everybody had to be initiated when they come into the outfit. And there was about 50 or 60, that was the best I remember, less than 100. And of course they run us through the belt line. One boy got a ruptured appendix on account of this. They used a belt buckle. And this belt buckle wrapped around him and hit him in the side here, and a knot come up there about the size of your fist. And then the wind up, while about 24 hours later, he was in the hospital being operated on. And the front of the buckle was on his belly. There's no doubt about it. It was a buckle. I don't know. You know, when you're in a belt line, I have used a belt in a belt line myself, you know. And you can't hit every one of them that comes by. You can only hit about one out of three if they're running fast. One out of three is about all you can hit, because if you're close together, you just can't, you ain't got room to swing that belt, you know. Or unless you just do it like that, you know, and you ain't going to hurt the man because you're too close to him. And the way they're doing, you know, they'd have the belt up, and when you come running by, why, you'd try to hit the one you wanted to hit, you know. You'd watch them coming down the line, try to get the one you wanted to get. And I didn't get the belt buckle, and there was four got the belt buckle out of the bunch, you know. That it really hurt them, and it bruised them up bad. And so that broke that up. Bub, I'm telling you, that man, that captain said, if I see another belt and it's not around your middle or hanging on the line, it'd be, you know, those web belts, you know, web belts. And you had to wash them every now and then. So if it's not hanging on the line, it'd be drying after being scrubbed, it better be around your middle. Because, says, if I find a belt off, and back then, Bubba, they didn't fool with you. And when a grown man said that was that, most, you know, boys back that age, they settled right down, you know. And you didn't see another belt. And if there was a belt seen off of somebody and not on the line, he was in a hurry to get it hid in his locker, or he was inside the barracks with it, you know. Well, they went from one extreme to another, you know. While this was calmed off and there was no more belt lines and nothing like that, they was using other methods of initiation, you know. And giving you a cigarette with a dynamite cap in it or something. Oh, man, it's all kind. Give you something to drink and it'd be spiked with old stump liquor, you know. I never seen the two old boys got drunk one night and cut the other in the throat, and he liked to bled to death before we get doctor there. And would have bled to death with one of the boys, older boys. He was near 30. There's a lot of old men in there, you know what I mean? It was to me there was old men, because I was only 17. There was men in there, you know, that was 25, 30 years old. And they'd been in there ever since it was formed. And a lot of them, you know, didn't care for nothing but that little $5 a month. That's all they was looking forward to, you know, was that little $5 a month, which was a lot of money. Now, you know,
free.
Oh, yeah. You get all, as I fixed to say, you know, you get all your clothes, you get your board and meal and everything, you know. You get everything.
Clear.
That $5 is clear of everything.
Clear of everything.
Now, you see there's
people. You know, that's a lot of money, just clear.
Oh, yeah.
To a fellow who hadn't had any in a long time.
Right. Never had any. Man never had any. He get $5, you know, a month. That's a heap of money. And
then they sent it, some of it home.
$20 went home. You couldn't get in there, you know, unless it was The only way you could get in there was to be a dependent or a homeless child. You know, boy, a young buck boy that didn't have no family. He was allowed to be in it. And then they'd pay him the $5 and supposedly the $20 would go to a children's home somewhere, you know, in the neighborhood where he come from. Or to some of his parents, not parents, but people that was disabled, you know. Somebody that had looked after him maybe a little bit would get that $20. In fact, Dennis, if he was old, 21 years old, he could tell them where he wanted that $20 to go.
I didn't know that.
And if he was old, 21 years old, he could tell them. You could send it to Guy Miles or anybody, you know, if he was old 20 years old. 21, right. But if he's under 21, they send it wherever they thought it was best needed. And if, of course, if you had parents, that's where it went to your parents. Daddy got the $20, and I got the $5. You got $25 a month and board. And it wasn't bad, actually. I thought it was, but it wasn't bad. It was one of the best things that ever happened to me. I'll say that. It was,
oh, really?
Oh, yes. It was one of the best things that you might want to mention that could ever happen to me, because I had one of the darndest cases of homesickness a man, a young'un, could ever have when I was in the CCs. Well, whenever I went in the Army during World War II, it didn't bother me a bit. You only really have homesickness one time.
Exactly.
That's right. You only have it. I actually have homesickness. Now, a lot of people say they get homesick every time they leave. They never have actually got homesick. While I was in basic training, there were several old number of boys in my outfit that really got homesick. And they had to go to the doctor, you know. Well, I went to the doctor. The doctor gave him shots, you know, medicine. But this old company commander we had, he says you'll never have to worry with it. If you ever get homesick, really homesick, you'll never have to worry with it again. Says it's over with.
Yeah. That's in the CCs.
No, in the Army. But in the CCs, I never heard any mention of it. But this old company commander had said that. Said if you ever have homesickness one time and really have homesickness, he said it's just like measles or anything else. If you ever have a good case of measles, chances are you'll never have them again, you know. But I've seen some boys so sick, and I know I was when I was in the CCs. Great. That thing lasted for about 6 weeks. It just looked like I'd never over the fact. You know, I just wanted to go home so bad. And had this one old boy, he liked to went crazy. He went over the hill and got lost in the meantime, trying to get home. Got lost. Law picked him up and brought him back to the camp. He was so homesick till he just plumb got lost. But they let him go sooner than myself. He was a boy from down below Cal, and they let him go ahead of me. And about a week, 2 weeks after that, they turned me loose. After a while, I think they eventually said, "Well, he ain't gonna get no good out of him. Might as well send him on in." But they keep you, boy, until you really have had it.
Yeah.
And they work on you. Now I noticed this also. After I were out and grew up to be a man, I noticed that they worked on me hard. Actually, the boys, you know, that was grinning, bearing it, and going on with the little chores and not belly aching anything, why, they didn't bother. They never say nothing to them. But they seemed to be working on me all the time. You know, they was continuously on me. If it wasn't for one thing, it was for something else that I hadn't even thought of doing, much less of done. And they just made it hard as me. I think they knew, well, he ain't gonna take it. We gonna give him a good one these few weeks he's here. Well, you know, 6 weeks is a long time. But then double that's a lot longer. That's 3 months. And that's how long I had to put up with that foolishness. Oh, they put me out in the swamp out there, you know, cutting cypress. This up in Georgia. Put me out there in this old swamp, you know, cutting cypress, and I fell in a gator den. And I thought sure they'd send me back to the camp, you know, after I fell in this old nasty hole, you know, and like drowned, come out spewing tadpoles and things out of my mouth, ears, eyes, and nose. And that old mud, you know, it's thick. You just couldn't hardly wait in it. It's so thick and muddy. And I thought, sure, you know, they'd let me come. It'd take, you know, time out and carry me back, which is about 25 miles back to the post. And this swamp where we were working in. And actually, it didn't work with about 4 hours altogether. Because, you know, you'd leave out about 8 o'clock from the camp, and they'd drive them old trucks. They had them old Rios. And back then, they wasn't speedy trucks, you know, drive about 25, 30 miles an hour. And you get there, and you do a little work, and then they carry your chow, you know, in these hot containers, you know, these things, big old containers. And they, the boys, you know, that feed you as soon as they get to where you're going to work, they get out and they set up their food containers and get ready, you know, and by the time they get them set up good, you ain't done a whole lot before they call you in to eat, you know, and you eat and you lay around for an hour or two, and after you get through eating, and then they put you back in the swamp, you know, wherever you're working, and a couple of hours and you're home. But man, shoot, I couldn't see that. That old boy, he ran away on account of that swamp. Me and him both was kind of, you know, two people that's got the same disease usually hang together. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all hang together. As a rule, usually you see a fella, you know, that if he's a mean type fella, does a lot of cussing, and there's nothing around, does the same thing, they'll hang together. And me and this old boy, I can't remember his name. Anyway, we...
He's from down below O'Connor.
And we just caught all kind of trouble. Just seemed like... And we tried to be the best, never bothered anybody, you know. Actually, I was scared to bother anybody. Shoot, man, I want to go home. I didn't care about them. But had another boy I met up with from O'Connor, below O'Connor, down at the little old place is Coleman. He was in... I met him in... Fort Meade, Maryland. He and I were thrown together up there, and I kind of find out that he was from Coleman, which is just below Cali, you know. So we went into Baltimore, Maryland, and was in there. And during the time we had left the post, where he got a telegram, his mother died, and of course. His father had already died, and so they sent him home. And I never did see that boy no more. He left that night, and we got in there. We had to sign in, you know, and went through the by the headquarters, sign in. The night watchman told him, you know, that he was supposed to go to the captain's office and wake him up. The old captain was there waiting on him. He told him his mother died, and they had his papers and everything fixed up for him to go home. And I don't know. Of course, we was on the verge of shipping out overseas anyway, and he probably was hooked up with another outfit later. But I never did hear from him anymore. But he was the same type of guy almost that this other guy was, it from down there, Wildwood or Coleman, wherever he come from. This guy that I was in the CC with, same about, I always thought about it, you know. And I mentioned it to him that he reminded me of this guy. And he got awful homesick himself, so he told me, you know. Of course, I wasn't with him in basic training, but he told me he had a hard time because he didn't want to leave his mother, and his daddy had already died, you know, and he didn't want to leave his mother, and he had one of the men that was on the draft board wanted his mother's farm. He had a little farm, or she did, and of course, he was working. He'd been deferred a number of times. And so they finally sent him on off, you know, thinking possibly, you know, she'd give in and sell a little old farm to this man that was one of the head men on the draft board. So he claimed. And of course, when she died, why, he had to go home. And I never did hear from him since.
You were 17 when you was in the CC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you weren't very old when you was in the army.
No, I just... 22. I'd been married a year, 18 months.
Just good kind of father.
Yeah, man, you ain't joking. But I tell you, I didn't, all my family, I'm
well,
in
I was past it, huh?
All my family's Navy. I'm the only one that ever been in the Army. And I wanted to get, I volunteered for the Navy, and they wouldn't have me because I was colorblind. And so other things, of course, I was asking for a degree in the Navy. And when I offered myself to them and my services, I wanted to say a doctor's degree in the Navy, something like that, you know. And so they wouldn't have me. I went several times and I talked to this old recruiter, Navy recruiter, and he told me, he finally told me, he said, we'll take you if you'll, we can't give you the rating you want. Says we can't enlist you at that rating. But said if you come down a rating, that's where I made my mistake. And I want a first class. You know, that's the way they rate in the Navy, you know, and I want a first class rating. And they wouldn't give me a first class. And they offered me a second class and a third rate rating, which, you know, was not a bad rating. You didn't go in as a, what do they call it in the Navy? But private in the Army, and I forgot what they call it in the Navy. But anyway, you didn't go in on that low end of the totem pole. And I also knew that it was harder to work up in the Navy than it was in the Army. There's more positions in the Army to work to. Well, when I decided I wouldn't take nothing less than what I'd went out for, why, they turned my case over to the draft board, see. And so when I, first thing I knowed, I was in Camp Blanding up there being processed for a doughboy.
You didn't go to Camp Blanding as a gardener like most of you.
No. Oh, no. Well, you know what? And this baby brother of mine, he went along the same time I did. And this old fella up here at Jacksonville told me, he said, whenever you drafted, he said, you just prefer Navy and they'll give you Navy. He said, you just have to work your way up. I said, no. I wouldn't do that. I'd get right on up there otherwise. Well, I found out that wasn't so, and that man, Gabe Monroe, and myself walking side by side through that inspection, that physical, which we shouldn't have been doing. And so he take Monroe and put him in the Navy and me in the Army. I said, man, shoot, I don't want the Army. He says, you get out of here and take what you got. And I moved on out, and like I said, first thing I knowed, I was there, you know, training. And I didn't want nothing they had. I wouldn't have anything. I spent that, if you had 30 days in any organized camp or anything, you know, they'd give you a little seniority, you know, when you went to the Army. I had 3 months in the CCs, and several of the boys in there didn't have that much time. Because they had joined the CCs and had been transferred out of the CCs into the Army. And they gave them choice, you know. I mean, they gave them a little seniority there. Well, I didn't even put down on my record that I'd been to CCs because I was ashamed of the fact that I couldn't tough out a 6 month period. You know, I signed up 6 months. And then I couldn't take it. So I was ashamed of that when I went to the Army. But it was one of the best piece of trainings I ever had, though. You know.
Yeah, the CCs. Mm-hmm.
Because I was my homesickness. I'd already been through that stage. And I had some idea, because, you know, on Saturday mornings they'd take us out and they'd march us, you know, like we was in the Army when we was in the CCs. They'd do a little of that Army close order drill. And they, all that stuff and another, you know, I was a little familiar with it. That old boy coming out, his name was Crow, and he'd had 2 years in CC's. And so they made him a squad leader right off. And when we finished our training, he advanced from right over PFC to Buck Private, which is one of the best ratings you can get in the Army to start with. You can't hardly beat that old Buck Private. I mean, that Buck Sergeant. Mm-hmm. Buck Sergeant is a varsity rating, you know, I mean, you're respected throughout the Army because usually old Buck Sergeant is a man that has abilities, you know. He can do more than one thing. You're not, you know, in your technical grades, like your T5, T3, 4, and 5. T3 is the same as a buck sergeant, only you're rated technically, you know. You're only in one field at work. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, you're a cook. Like,
oh, that's right, yes.
Like, if you're a cook, you're a radio operator, or you're a truck driver, or something like that, while you're rated, you're
in
a 2
rating. Oh, I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, technical rating. You're in one category.
Yeah.
Buck sergeant, you have a varsity understanding basically of what the Army is and can be used in the multiple way.
Yeah.
And you draw a little bit more. Most of the people thought you know because you had a T on that there insignia there, you know, T rated. You did in some cases, but not in all cases.
Yeah.
Not in all cases. Like a truck driver, he didn't get as much as a plain buck sergeant. Although he had a T before, he was technically rated because he was in one field of work there. He was specialized in truck driver. Now it's S, you know, instead of using the T, like we used to say, a T sergeant, or now it's S, you know, they rate them in SP and S this and S the other, you know, specialist.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
I don't know whether you've noticed that in the modern Army ratings. No,
I lost.
Well, the only reason I know this, see, we have nephews in service, you know, and they're rated with the special. Instead of being technical, you know. Actually, that never was a true way of categorizing the men anyway. That
well, what did you do that was worthwhile in the...
I didn't do nothing. I quit. Well, as soon as I found out I was in the Army, I didn't work with them at all. I was against them on every move.
Really?
I thought they were going to put me in jail a couple of times. I wouldn't salute them birds. I told them no. I said, I want the Navy, and I said, I ain't going to fool with you. I just ain't going to have nothing to do with you. I could have come out a master sergeant with no sweat. And every officer that I was ever under always liked me, you know. But they'd get aggravated with me. They'd be, you know, they'd get reports from me, you know, about what I did on the post or out in the suburbs of the camp, you know, about especially not saluting these colonels and things, you know. I said, shoot, I didn't see him. I said, you can't salute something you didn't see. And I'd lie like a dog. And I got right disgusted about that thing. One day, I come in and I had... they was crying out on the PA system, you know, wanting me to go to regimental headquarters immediately. And usually back then, you know, the Army ain't different what it is today. Well, when they said immediately, I hop too, you hop too. And so I hopped right on up to regimental headquarters because I didn't know what you know. I said, yeah, they going to court-martial me about saluting that old big chicken colonel, you know. I seen him old rooster sitting up on his shoulder, but I didn't pay no mind. I made out like he didn't even exist. Because I was mad at the Army, because he wouldn't let me have the Navy, see. And when I got in there, kind of find out, see, my name is William. And I...
Oh, it is?
Oh, yes. And I'd signed that cotton picking. I don't know how they find this out, you know, but they found out my name's William, and I'd signed in as Willie. And I knew it when I did it, but I did it just because I figured that was the only way to get back at them, you know. I just signed it Willie. About everybody called me Willie anyway. So they called me up, and they rolled me over the coals a little bit, you know, about misrepresenting myself to the United States Army, you know, by not making my, signing my name correctly. And so they said, you've signed...
Now that goes against you.
Oh, yeah. They said, you signed some papers here, you've signed them Williams. Said, some papers you've signed them Willie. And some papers you've signed WP. Said, did you ever read under there and see where it says under their full name, or either full name, middle initial, last name, or last name? It always comes last name, first name, middle initial. You know, as you sign. I mean, that'd be the way it was, a paper would be filled out, you know. And then when you signed it, it'd be... first name, middle initial, and last name. And I just signed it. Sometimes I'd sign it backwards and all kind of ways, you know. And they got to go and throw all my papers and found, you know, I'd sign my name all kind of ways. And it tells you in the beginning And I read, I guess that's the reason I'd done that. Said that I must always, always, and not to forget to sign my name correctly, full name, each time, on all papers, because it was important. And so I just had all kind of names signed on them papers. And you know when you was inducted, how many papers you had to sign? Oh man, they just whirled up. And of course, it taken a while for this to catch up to me. See, it taken a while for it to ever catch up. When it caught up, why, I'd forgot about it, cause I'd settle down, you know, and begin to sign my name one way all the time. And so I figured, well, there were so many places it was hard to get my whole name in that I'd just cut it short to Willie and make it Willie, you know, cause I thought that'd be all right if I just continued to sign it that way, you know. I'd overcome all that original first stuff that I'd fooled with, but that wasn't so. So they told me, says, you know, says, we could fine you for doing this, because, says, you're messing with the signature, and not only that, the law says you should sign it one way all the time. Of course, since I found out it wasn't because I hadn't saluted them big jobs, you know, I got right sassy about it, because I figured, you know, there's, shoot, man, they couldn't do much to me about my signature. But they could really rake me over the cold about not saluting them big tickets, you know.
You were sassy back then?
Yeah. I was mad at them. I was in a family of Navy. And all my people, on Mama's side and Daddy's side, were Navy.
Yeah.
I'm a black sheep of the whole work. Run the whole record. Yeah, I take my tour in the Army. I run the whole work. Say, by the way, you hadn't commented on my new shoes yet. Now, what do you think about that?
Think about
it. Oh, I didn't want no full inspection. See?
Golly, Willie.
That shows I'm...
That'll be there. You'll have them shoes long time.
Oh, no, man. They won't last me long.
You didn't finish school?
Mm-mm. No, man.
What else took you out of school?
Didn't want to go. It's a mean thing to do. After, you know, you drop out, you just don't want to... You're ashamed to go back. You know, it's hard to go back after you left your class.
It is?
Oh, yes. By the way, I see where they got you in hot water up there. How come you don't want them youngsters to evaluate you and find out whether you're worth a toot or not? You know, they noticed your name in boxcar letters there. Man, shoot, Dr. Myers is all fouled out here. Not up, but fouled out. And two or three more of them birds around that I know. Don't want to be evaluated. I said, well, you know, that's something. I thought everybody would hear an evaluation.
They have such curious...
That's the stupidest thing up there. I don't know how in the world. I couldn't actually stay in the stream long. It'd kill me. I couldn't stay in the stream.
No.
I had, they're stupid jerks. I don't know. I doubt you. You don't fool with that little paper, do you, at Gator?
Not anymore. No.
Necessarily
have to. You know, I sort of peep at it out of one eye every now and then.
They can write some of the stupidest things in there. Was the woodpeckers eating them boards? That the reason you put that iron up there?
I tell you what, Willie. I was looking for something to... from the land on. I couldn't find anything.
You mean to say that iron is the reckon they won't
they don't use it.
I thought maybe that is iron.
Yeah.
I thought maybe the woodpeckers was eating it up, so you just put that iron there and of course now you know that'll dull the bills up something awful.
Yeah.
I'm a little ashamed of you doing that.
Yeah.
Messing up the woodpeckers' bills like that. But anyway, that's that hungry strike they had up there. You know, that was a bunch of malarkey.
Oh yeah.
I find out.
Let me get my hat and we'll get to work.
Yeah, let's do. I find out that just this last week, I read.